And we're live, and welcome to the show, everybody. We have Andrew K. in the house.
Yes,
I'm
here.
Of the Galaxy podcast. And, of course, I am producer Dirt. And the two of us are the only ones here at the moment. And why don't you, Andrew, why don't you explain to everybody why it's just the two of us at the moment?
Okay, so Aaron, who's awesome, he is having some problems right now at his house. I don't want to get too personal, but, the power is not working. So
I think it's storm-related. It's probably from the high winds and the rain is my guess.
Yeah. So he's just out for tonight. So we'll see him next week unless, North Korea attacks. We'll be back next week with him. And then Brian is AWOL again, but he'll be returning shortly, he says. So, in fact, he told me specifically to withhold talking about one of the topics until he's back. So,
oh, really?
He said that, but I'm pretty sure I can still say what he's going to say. It's not a crazy topic. It's not like Brian only knows what this topic is about. So we'll get into it. We'll get into it most definitely.
All right.
So how about you start? You got some loyal subjects from Target. If everyone doesn't know, the new loyal subjects that are Target exclusive have been released for Masters of the Universe. They're out. I have not bought any. I'm a big fan, but I've been very good lately. So what about you? Let's hear what you got.
Well, okay, so normally, here, I'm just going to switch over to video real quick. I usually try to avoid blind boxes as much as possible. I pretty much hate the idea. Blind box, I don't know. Like, a lot of times there's stuff I wouldn't mind having when they do, like 12 figures or whatever. I wouldn't mind, a few of them. There's a couple of them a lot of times I usually don't like. So I just hate the idea of blind box. But the problem is if you want to buy any, afterwards, a lot of times there's a big markup. So
there can be, most definitely. Yeah,
so I just thought, well, I'll bite the bullet. I've got a friend, Kevin, who drives around to all the stores. He's unemployed at the moment. He's in between jobs. He's got a new job lined up. He just hasn't started it yet. So his deal is like just different days during the week. He drives 30 miles this way, 50 miles that way, 2 hours that way, just to go to these different towns and go to the different toy stores and check different stuff out. So he spotted at Target the Loyal Subjects and the Series 2 here. And
okay,
and so
it looks just like
at
Series 1 boxes.
Yeah, except it's got the different figures that they have available.
Yes,
and he was just like, "Well, I'll grab a couple of these if you want them." And I was like, "Well, sure, why not? I'll let you grab if you want to grab them for me, I'll let you grab them." So the box was untouched. It was an untouched box. So he grabbed the two back corners.
Okay, and that's what I've always heard to go for is the back corners, but I don't think it always works.
Yeah, well, it depends because a lot of stores, if they individually price each one, they'll take them out of the box and price them and then put them all back in so they're
out of order
when they get back in the box. But this apparently was just – they just flipped up the top and set it on the shelf and left it there. So he grabbed the two back corners. So on one back corner – was the Teela with the snake staff.
Nice. And this is not necessarily a hard to get one either, which is good for anyone who wanted to get Teela because she has been expensive and hard to get for a while.
She's 2 out of 16. So she's one of the commons.
Yeah, one, two per case almost basically.
So those so I've got one of her and actually I know talk to a couple people that are interested in it, so it'll probably go to a nice new home. But then in the other one, from the other back corner, I happen to get the Trapjaw, the
Triclops.
Mini comic. I was looking at the picture of Trapjaw on the side of the box right down here. But Triclops, the mini comic.
I like that one. Actually, I didn't like the last two Triclopses because they were the same. They were so close to being the same that I think this new Triclops is pretty cool.
And now, I hadn't bought any loyal subjects before just because of the prices, pretty much. It's, for me, it's a little too expensive for a blind box random thing that you're getting. I wouldn't. I mind paying that same price for a full figure. That's because I'm kind of cheap on the stuff.
Right? Yeah.
But I have to admit that for the little guys that they are, these are actually pretty nice.
Nice.
There's a lot of articulation. You've got, you know, your head articulation, which you would expect. And then, of course, his eyes move, which that's his, you know, gimmick. But then the arms have a ball joint in them, so they can move around. And the wrist has a joint in it, so it can move around. And the legs also have a joint in them, so they can move.
The waist does, too.
The waist, yeah. I say the waist spins, and then there's a little joint in the feet.
Nice.
So you do have a fair amount of articulation. And one thing that I really like about him is that he actually has a spot on the back for the sword.
Nice.
So it can be tucked away if it's not in his hand. So
nice.
I actually like weird redecos of characters.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of my gimmick. So I'm keeping him.
Cool.
He's pretty cool. But I know some people that will want the Tila. So that one's going to find a new home. But yeah, that was kind of fun to... Since I wasn't paying for him, you know, it took away.
It didn't take away much then. That makes sense. They're really cool. I really like the figures. I mean, from the figure itself standpoint, Loyal Subjects is something I really like. I'd love to have displays for him. I'd love to have a Battle Cat. I'd love to have a bunch of stuff. And Loyal Subjects in the past has said they want to do some of that stuff. But currently, they're doing most of their Masters product through Blind Box. They did do a glow-in-the-dark figures, technically two Black Fridays ago, but we finally got them, and they're awesome, but they've sold out. They did individual release figures that were on the card on like a little clamshell, and those were sold during Comic-Con last year. So there's a chance, and I hear a really good chance, that we're going to get some new ones, maybe different colors, maybe actually new figures by this Comic-Con. But obviously we've not heard anything besides conjecture or rumor. So there's now, that.
Were they only available at Comic-Con, or did they also have them available for sale?
They had them on the website after. So actually that's really funny you asked. Every day they release a new figure at Comic-Con and online. And that works awesomely if you'd like to pay shipping like six times. they didn't quite sell out right away either. So there were some people that were waiting on the last day to get all of them. And then they just bought them all, which worked. But like, you know, the collector in me was like, oh, crap, I got to order them. And that's the thing. They also released that they were variations for the ones you get in the show and ones you get online. So they're still technically exclusive, yada, yada. But it was interesting. But I have like way too many loyal subjects now.
Yeah. And I'm kind of past the point of convention exclusives. Like, there's a lot of times I see stuff and I'm like, oh, I'd really like to have that. But then it's like San Diego Comic-Con only. And I'm like, nah, like, I don't need it that bad. Like,
well, you can always let me know since I go every year.
I don't know. But, well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, a lot of times it's just, it also costs a premium because it's a Comic-Con exclusive. You know, it would normally be $20, but because it's Comic-Con exclusive, it's like $45.
Well, shipping's also crazy from Comic-Con. I usually bring everything home and ship from home just because shipping individually at San Diego is like a mess.
Yeah.
A mess you don't want to deal with.
I've never gone to San Diego myself, but a bunch of people from PCN have. I hate to travel, so I just don't go to those things.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the idea of stacking six guys in one hotel room, you know, for 4 days or whatever it is, just does not appeal to me at all. But several of them have made the trip, but they would go out there and buy stuff. And at the end of the day, take it down to the FedEx place, pack it all in a box and ship it out at the end of the day. And boy, that got expensive.
I last year, I think, was my cheapest year. And I still spent really close to $250 on shipping. In years past, I've spent close to $400 on shipping. It gets ridiculous the more you buy and the more times you ship. So I usually wait until the very end. I try to fit everything into one or two boxes, and I try to get the best place possible. FedEx charges way too much out there. They have surcharges, $25 per box, whether it's a small box or a giant box.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was another thing, though, is one of the guys going, of course, owns the local comic shop that we run out of. So he was buying stuff for the store. And
that makes sense.
Made a difference, yeah.
It can. So let's talk about the loyal subjects though a little bit more. So this new wave, in case anyone has not seen, it's actually a little disappointing. It's a Target exclusive wave. They have one gold He-Man that's a Target exclusive. So one gold figure. There's going to be two gold He-Mans around there somewhere. One Walmart, one Target. Excuse me here. They're going to have a Club 28 figure, which is the Slime Pit He-Man, which is cool until you realize it's the exact same sculpt that they used on He-Man every other time. They've added no slime drips. They've just painted him green. And it looks cool, but it reminds me too much of Kid Robot. And honestly, I'm not about to chase something that I could make. I could paint it just as well.
Right.
So then they also did the rare Faker again, and this time he's actually the classic colors, the blue and orange instead of blue and pink, which I thought was a little ridiculous but fun. They've also got with the series, they've got a gold metallic, not a gold, a blood metallic red Skeletor, which looks cool again, but then you realize it's just a metallic color repaint, and it's hard to find.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, I am the guy who likes the funky color stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, it looks cool.
I look at a lot of these figures, and it's like I would want the Faker, the blood metallic Skeletor, the Slime Pit He-Man, the Triclops. Like, those are the four I'm interested in the most out of the wave, just generally speaking. And, of course, those are the ones that are hardest to get.
Yes, yeah. Triclops isn't. He's a common, but yeah, they're
no, Triclops is a 1 in 24.
Oh, is he really? Triclops is 1 in 24?
Yeah, I've got it says right here in the box, He-Man is 1, because there's just one. Faker is 1 in 96. Skeletor is 1 in 48. Slime Pit He-Man is a Club 28. And Triclops is 1 in 24.
Dang, well, I'm going to have to get stupid Triclops then. God, that sucks. No, I didn't even know that. I wasn't even paying attention. I had seen, though, that Teela finally is a common with her snake staff instead of her sword, which I think more people would want anyways. And then they have a metallic 2000X, I think, Man-at-Arm. Or no, Manny Faces. And the Manny Faces look sweet. If anyone has not played the Manny Faces.
Manny Faces is the mini comic.
Oh, are they called the mini comic? Okay. The colors just look very weird. It looks very metallic, though. It looks like a metallic paint job on the figure.
Well, I was going to say, the way that they're listed is that Beastman, Manny Faces, Stratos, and He-Man all say mini comic.
Yes. But the you know that Beastman? That Beastman is exactly the same as the Walmart exclusive Beastman, other than the Chase one was a flocked version, and this is, again, just a regular version. So if you bought a case or two of the Walmart ones, or even just a few boxes, chances are you already have Beastman. And Skeletor was the mini comic version last time around too. So there's a good chance that you already have this Beastman and Skeletor and Trapjaw. Trapjaw's the Filmation one, which they released at Walmart. So three of those figures, automatically, you might already have the exact same figure they're going to release in the Target box, which disappoints me severely. It means that I'm probably not going to be buying cases of it, you know, a case even right now, as I'm being good. But because I'm afraid that I'm going to get figures I already have. Like, I already went through that at Walmart. Why am I going to do this again?
But, I mean, that's the problem you face with blind boxes in general, and that's why I don't like blind boxes.
Yeah, that's why. I wish them well. I want them to do well. I really like them, actually. And I actually think, you know, to be full, honest disclosure here, I think I'm going to be helping them at San Diego this year, working for them before and after the show. But I mean, that still doesn't mean that I can't say that I'm disappointed that I'm getting the same figures again. I'm still waiting for a true, honest Series 2, new sculpts, new figures. We need Battle Cat. We need more of than just repaints.
Well, the repaints are disappointing. All you'll get is Grayskull Man and what's the one that Scott came up with? That the Mighty Spectre? You're going to get Mighty Spectre and one?
The Master's Deadpool is what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I guess part of my thing with these is that I would much rather, instead of dealing with blind boxes and trying to chase down the figure you want and having, you know, multiples of these different figures trying to chase a rare one down, if they would do the type of thing where, you know, in the little baggie with the figure is a coupon, and you buy 12 of them and you send in the 12 coupons and you order one of the rare figures.
Yeah.
Like, I would appreciate that a lot more than the whole blind bag idea.
That actually sounds really cool. That actually does. That really does. Because you're still getting a lot sold. But then again, you'd be paying more because, well, or less. Some people crazy. They would be
packaged in a way so that you see what you're getting, so you know what you're getting, which also gives them the ability to, you know which figures are selling well compared to other figures.
Correct.
They don't have to do a complete run at one time. So it can be, you know, between a Walmart run and between a Target run and between a, you know, toywiz.com gets their own set, whatever. And you just mix and match between all the different sets.
Yeah.
You know, and then that way you can pick the figures that you want. People who want the whole things, they'll still sell them like complete sets. People who want them mint in package will buy two sets, so they'll have the mint in package and then one to open to get the coupons out. And then you send in the coupons and you can pick. Because I like the metallic blood Skeletor, honestly, like,
that looks awesome.
That's the closest thing to a Disco Skeletor we're probably going to get.
No. Didn't you see at Toy Fair they unveiled a Disco Skeletor? That Blood Skeletor is just a between colors Disco and not. There's a Disco. I think he's going to be I don't know any of this for fact. This is not, you know, an inside scoop. But we saw him at Toy Fair. He's coming at probably as the Walgreens and Hot Topic are going to get these Motu cases as well. There's going to be exclusives to Hot Topic and Walgreens in the next, hopefully, month, I heard. So by sometime this May, we might find the Disco Skeletor is the 1 in 46 or 48 at, you know, Hot Topic, or it might be at Walgreens. So,
okay, well, here's a question. Do you have Walgreens near you? I'm assuming.
There are several Walgreens. Yeah. Actually, I live like between like six.
Yeah, I was going to say. We've got probably eight in town. They just recently closed one or two of them because they realized they just kind of oversaturated. Yeah. But I've never gone into a Walgreens and seen an entire case.
I know what you're saying.
So what they're going to do is they're going to produce these cases and ship them to the Walgreens distribution center. And the distribution center is going to open the cases and send five to this store and four to that store, six to this store, two to that store.
Yeah.
And so you're not even going to know what case they're coming from, where they are in the case. No one's going to be able to buy a full case worth. You're going to have to go to eight different Walgreens to maybe get a case worth of figures. And that's not even assuming that they all come from the same case. You know, you may be getting the front eight from two different cases from all the, you know, the ones in your town. That's going to be a nightmare for people to try to find the ones that they want.
You know, people were talking about that when Hot Topic was selling them, because Hot Topic did the same thing online, of course, or, you know, Toys R Us did the same thing online with the first wave. You know what, though? For Hot Topic, they released small cases. They made really small, tiny 9-packs that only had 9 figures in them, and they were exclusive to Hot Topic, but they were still the first wave. For Walmart, we saw that they made these box cases, and some of the long flat cases that Target's getting right now. They got these box cases that held more figures, but held them strategically. Does that make sense? So right. maybe we'll see something for that for Walgreens. But you bring up a really valid point. I have a student that works at a Walgreens, and I was hoping I could get the hookup. But, you know, I haven't gotten the hookup yet for anything else I've asked him for. So I'm not going to hold my breath.
Well, maybe he just doesn't like you.
It's very possible. It's very possible.
What grade did you give him?
What? Oh.
Is not he failing your class? That's why.
I told him that if he doesn't graduate in the next month, that he's going to be hanging with me all of next year. in the desk right next to my desk. So you're right. It very well will be the way I handle him. But that doesn't matter. But yeah, loyal subjects, they're really cool at the get-go, but you know, they're blind box. They haven't released any new real figures yet. Paint schemes aside, I'm kind of growing a little tired of them. You know what I mean?
And like, I love redecos, but if they were to do an entire, if they would have broken it by set, so all the ones from Walmart were Filmation. And yeah. all the ones from Target were mini comic, and you know all the ones at Hot Topic were classics. You know, if they would have done it that way, it would have been a lot more palatable to walk into each one and grab a couple for people. Because then, even if you get a duplicate, you're getting a redeco version of the one you already have, not the possibility of one that looks exactly the same.
I think this is going to be something I'm going to be talking. I'll try to talk to them about because.
See if they want to do the show. See if they want to come on the show.
I will have to. I mean, I'm not going to see them until July, so we got some time. But literally, I mean, I like their products. It's not a complaint about their products in the sense that they're not cool. They're very cool. But what you're talking about, I've talked to them about maybe some future figures that they could make and that they should release. And I gave them a list at one time. I'm going to talk to them again because, you know, I'm huge in the Motu. So I think we'll figure it out. I'm sure that some of these issues will get worked out by the next wave, hopefully. And I hope the next wave is coming soon because I'm getting tired of repaints. But we'll worry about that later. I will talk to them and I will invite them to the show. That'll be fun. their owner is an interesting guy. His name is Jonathan, and Jonathan's an interesting guy. I think it'd be kind of fun to have him on the show. But let's move on because I think we've given loyal subjects a lot while we're waiting for Brian. Let's talk about Super 7. Or actually, you know, before Super 7, let's talk Mythic Legions. I want to throw a shout out again to the Four Horsemen. They have some awesome, awesome products, the Mythic Legions right now. They're very Motu compatible. They're sized the same. They're barbarians. They're minotaurs. They're so cool. They are on pre-order on the Four Horsemen website, the Four Horsemen store online on their website. They're available for pre-order tonight only. So at the end of tonight, they are going to disappear. And, you know, when this is a pre-sale, so you're guaranteed the figures. You can order as many as you want to. They're going to come out next year probably, or next spring, early, late this year. When they release the next wave, those things are going to sell like hotcakes. It's one thing that I've invested a lot of money in, and I will say that I have no problems buying more because they retain their value. They're very limited. You can't just go online right now and buy all of them at retail. In fact, they're very expensive. So just throw it out there for anyone that's listening. Check out Mythic Legions if you haven't already. I love the figures. The Four Horsemen do an awesome job, and the presale ends for their newest wave tonight. You wouldn't want to miss it. You don't
tonight,
want to go
tonight. As it May 1st, like, so if
May 1st, yes, tonight, Monday tonight. If you don't buy them in time, be prepared to shell out more money on the secondary market unless you can make their crazy flash sales next year or whenever they release them. They usually always make extras, and those extras get sold really quickly. So save yourself the hassle. Buy yourself some awesome toys. They will be cool. I think Big Bad Toy Store also will carry them for a bit of time, but they are like $15 and $25 more expensive just by buying them from Big Bad Toy Store. Nothing against Big Bad, but literally save yourself some money. Okay, so that's all I'll say about the Four Horsemen and our amazing Mythic Legions. Okay, so we got a new Supercast from Super 7. We got the update on everything that we've been waiting for. Well, what have you been waiting for from Super 7? Do you know? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I want info on the vintage retro.
The vintage retros. Okay. Yeah, information. Sorry. No new information.
Well, see,
on that.
You said everything.
You know, actually, that was their joke. I love their videos because their videos are very funny. They do some crazy stuff. They had a throw in for the Oregon Trail. They said someone died of dysentery. That was so weird. But you're like, what? But they said our number one asked question is, and they had some questions on the side, and they just scratched them out, like saying, "Ha, you thought it was that one? Nope." They said that the pre-orders for the next Filmation line, the four figures from the Filmation line, and the four figures from the Collector Club go on sale this Friday, May 5th. And they're going to go on sale for made to order, so there's not going to be a sellout. So if you want to order some of the figures, you don't have to worry about them selling out in 10 minutes, like everything else we talk about today. they don't have a price.
How long are they going to be on sale for?
I don't know. That's a good question. He said they're going to go on sale that day, and they're going to probably be up for a couple weeks. My guess is they might even be up through the end of May. Who knows? He didn't give us a price point. He didn't tell us everything exactly. He was just saying, hey, you know what? This is our first announcement. We're going to make another announcement later this week. They're going to go on sale on Friday. Prepare for all the details to come in the next, couple days. But it was nice to throw it out there because I have been worried. I've been worried that, oh, God, are we going to ever get them? But, yes, we are. Okay. The other thing that they talked about in his amazing video was the Ultimates. The Ultimates are coming. We've been waiting a while, and they have finished Ultimate products on hand to show how cool they are. They're going to ship from China May 31st. So at the end of this month, in 30 days, the action figures, our Ultimates, are going to leave China. And then, they're going to arrive in America by the 31st of June and start shipping directly. So I guess I'll be receiving my Ultimates definitely before Comic-Con. So then we can all talk about them and look at them before Comic-Con. And before we see more, I'm sure there'll be more announcements at Comic-Con and PowerCon because that's where they seem to do He-Man stuff like crazy. That Super 7 at least. So yes, those are that's pretty much the news. He had some other news about Alien Day, which passed a couple days ago. He had some information about a convention they're going to do that's not Comic-Con. It's a funny video. I recommend anyone to go and watch it. It's their Supercast number 2. But, not much else to say. The five figures look gorgeous, just like they did before, just like with all the extra accessories that you're not going to have to pay extra for, just like a Ram Man that's not crazy expensive. It's going to be cool. I'm very excited. This kind of stuff excites me.
What other figures do you think they're going to do Ultimates of? Like, what else do you see getting this type of treatment?
Well, they said specifically that there's going to be no more Ultimates for this year, that more Ultimates might be released
this
for next year.
But yes. In the future, down the line, what do you think?
Man, of the Ultimates, there's a couple that I want to see really badly. He's not considered to be as main character as, like, Faker, He-Man, Skeletor, and Teela, but I'm really hoping that we get a Ultimate of Fisto. I think that if we get a Fisto, that it'll sell like crazy. That there's a lot of people out there who didn't get a Fisto in one way or another, and they want a Fisto that they can play with, that they can put on their shelf and not have to worry about that they just spent, part of a paycheck on, right? It's a great figure, and I can't think of anything that would add to it. The Ultimates has been about adding new pieces to the figures, like He-Man with all of his extra swords and weapons and heads, Skeletor. I think that Faker just comes with the extra weapons. But Teela comes with extra stuff. I think it's just a really good idea to do these of certain characters, and I think Fisto should be a second-year character. I think that he should be added, definitely, to the list.
Do you think they're going to try to always have a He-Man and Skeletor? Like, they might do new adventures, or they might do Flying Fists?
That is a great question, and I really don't believe so. I can see where it would be good marketing, and I think what they might actually do, and again, I don't know. This is no inside scoop, so don't quote me on this. But what if they opened up the Ultimates for He-Man and Skeletor re-releases of the Ultimates next year? Maybe they won't even release a new one. Maybe it'll be the exact same as the one we'll get this year. But they'll open up the reservations again next year at one time. So they're not sitting on the shelf. So you can't order them evergreen like everyone, you know, like Mattel used to do. But so you can order one, and hell, you're going to get the Ultimate He-Man and Skeletor. You know,
so they would do another run of He-Man and Skeletor, then add Fisto, She-Ra, and...
She-Ra would have to.
Somebody, I mean, but I'm just throwing names out just randomly.
I think She-Ra's definitely going to be out of the list. If they can do it, She-Ra will be on the list because She-Ra will sell like crazy. But I think they might add He-Man and Skeletor. But you know what else they might do? And you actually brought up a pretty valid point. I could see them doing battle armor, but then they're going to have to spice it up with something else because the battle armors are really cool. And they're actually hard to get a He-Man. Battle Armor He-Man's fairly hard to get nowadays. But I can't see them doing Flying Fists or the other ones. Mattel did those. Mattel had the money to spend on figures that people kind of wanted, kind of didn't. Super 7 is all about what fans actually want. Super 7 wants to do what fans want them to do. They're not like ignoring us and saying, hey, we're going to go off and create some figures that no one's ever heard of. They're doing stuff that they think people want, and they're listening to us.
Yeah, well, I think, hell, I mean, if, well, go ahead.
I was going to say, Brian Flynn is incredibly approachable. If you're at any of the Super 7 stores when he's there, if you are at the Super 7 party at PowerCon this year, probably, and I know at Comic-Con, I get a chance to talk to him. And when I talk to him, he listens. He's not someone that's like, oh, maybe, or we'll see what happens next year. He's usually like teasing, like, ooh, that's a good idea, or ooh, I've never heard of that before. I'd never thought of that. Kind of in a very sarcastic way, like kind of like, you know, it's gonna come, right? You know, I've heard this before, and you know, I like your idea, so you know, keep on having those ideas. They're really cool like that. So Super 7, super approachable. Now, does that mean we should complain to him? Hell no. maybe, I don't know. That's not
my thing. I guess what I was thinking was something more along the lines of, you know, if you look at He-Man and Skeletor, of course, are you know, classic evergreen figures. Correct. That people just want to have. But Battle Armor, it's still a fun-looking sculpt. It's a good sculpt, yeah. And a lot of people had them as kids. Thunder Punch, I think, is a good-looking figure, and for a lot of people... is. If they didn't have a regular He-Man, they may have had that one because he looks like He-Man, but he's got red armor. You know, for a little kid, it's not that different.
His armor was actually really sweet with the H. The H was different because the H on the battle armor is not easy enough to tell that it's an H, but the H on that armor was very, very cool.
But it makes it, you know, Flying Fists and Terror Claws and, you know, all of those looked the dragon... Squirter, I can't even remember what it was. Skeletor's dragon backpack that squirted water. like a lot of those just looked goofy, and it was hard. What do you think the chances are that you're going to see a new type of armor, a new like their own Super 7 created fan version?
You know, maybe we'll see the possessed Skeletor, like the mummy Skeletor, and that would be a lot of fun. No, that's fine. I think that like something like that might be fun. But if they're going to go and create their own, I mean, you know, they're only as creating as much as the Four Horsemen are going to sculpt for them, right? So I don't know. I mean, that's I don't have an opinion on it other than I don't think it's honestly going to happen. I don't think they're going to release their own Super 7 He-Man and Skeletor because even though they are a company that's all about, you know, artist design and redesigning things, I don't think they're trying to recreate the wheel here with the Ultimates. I think that the Ultimates are a way to get fans what they want and not to go, you know, design crazy on. In my personal opinion, because I mean, they've got plenty of He-Man merch that is design friendly. Whether it's the muscles and the reaction style, all the way down to these weird plaster figures they had at Comic-Con 2 years ago, they had a plaster Skeletor and a plaster He-Man that's like made out of some kind of you know, crazy glass like material, and I couldn't afford both, so I just bought Skeletor, and he's kind of one of my prizes. You know, you don't see him very often, and they only made like 100 of each. And the vinyls are the same way. The vinyls that they do, the Japanese vinyls, those are very designed, very different from what we already have. So I think that they're going to show their artist skill not in the Ultimates, but in something, you know, unrelated, something cool that we can add to our collection if we want to, but not a new figure that we have to buy.
When they did Wave 2 of the muscles,
yes,
they added a new He-Man and a new Skeletor in those, right?
They did. They also had a Castle Grayskull, and they added a Battle Cat for He-Man to ride.
Right,
or okay. A Battle Cat with He-Man on it. But you're right, they did add a new He-Man and Skeletor. But those are also cheap.
Well, that's
maybe they will. You know, it's just that I wonder, besides re-releasing the first two, you know, He-Man and Skeletor Ultimates, I really don't think they're going to go too crazy. I could be wrong. So we'll find out. I guess we'll find out later this year, early next year. But yeah, the Ultimates are very cool. I'm personally looking forward to my Collector's Club and the Classics. I know I'm going to be ordering some on Friday, so that's a given. and you know what else is good about Super 7? You can pay for it all up front if you've got the money now, or you can pay for it in installments, kind of like the figures from Mattel did, the Matty Collector. So I like that.
Oh, do the shipping all at once, you mean?
Yeah, well, they're going to still ship all at once, but you can pay for them as if you were buying one figure a month, you know, one of the figures each month, or you can pay for them all at once.
Oh, so you can choose like an installment payment.
An installment plan, basically, that lets you pay off the figures. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not getting them for several months, and I'm pretty sure they probably have some capital to pay for the figures while we wait. So they just want to get their money, you know, soonish, but not that soon, I guess. Who knows? It sounds fun. I'm down for it. I really enjoy Super 7. Super 7 has outshined Mattel, Matty, and Digital River so far. I know they're more expensive, but they're going to be smaller run, and they're going to be better customer service. You know, if you had to call Super 7, you're not going to expect to talk to someone across the world.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. So just a reminder, anybody who tuned in late, Aaron Johnson is without power this evening, probably because of the big storms that ran through. We're waiting for Brian. Brian said he was just running late for a reason or another, but he was going to be here. We're 40 minutes into the show and he's not here. So I don't know what the odds are. So what else did we have to talk about that you were holding off on here?
So today was a freaking meltdown. I wish I had the guys here. Today was a meltdown on Mattel Store. So, you know, when I was talking about how awesome Super 7 is, it's just further illustrated how Mattel bombed today. If anyone didn't know, it was let slip on the He-Man org that actually it was speculating that Mattel Shop was suddenly getting all these listings for figures that we've been waiting for, like the Comic-Con Rotar and Twistoid set, the Spirit of Grayskull, more He-Man Filmation, Skeletor Filmation, the Rotan and Skeletron figure, a Skelecon figure, and then, of course, the single-packed Horde Trooper. The listing said that they were going to go on sale by the 1st, and that makes sense. But last night, or actually really this morning, at 5 a.m. Eastern, The figures, all except for the Horde Trooper, hit the website. So in the middle of the night, while people are sleeping and people are not, you know, awake yet for the most part, all these well-demanded figures hit the website. And a few people found them, and they disappeared rather quickly. And people who had been waiting and stalking the website didn't even get a chance. Like, I went to sleep going, okay, it'll show up when I wake up. And, like, nothing. Everything was gone, pretty much. I had a chance to buy a Lino the night before, and then I had a chance to buy a couple of items, and I just passed. I've got some stuff going on in my personal life that I'm like, hey, you know, I can withhold buying a bunch of He-Man stuff right now. So I didn't buy them. And then the Horde Trooper was going to release, God, early this morning, there was rumors that it was going to hit 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and they just dropped. They put the Horde Troopers finally on the website, and in the span of a couple minutes, they all disappeared. I was warning people as fast as possible, go get your Horde Troopers, go get your Horde Troopers, and I only got two for myself, and all these people just lucked out. It really sucks.
It's because as we've been talking, I pulled up shopmattel.com.
Yeah.
And if you go, like, I can go to brand Masters of the Universe. I can see, yes, there's the Horde Trooper. So you click on the page for the Horde Trooper. Actually, you know what? I can screen share this. Let me
do it.
Let me pull this up on the window here. Okay.
So
here you can see I am at shopmattel.com. We're in the Masters of the Universe section. I'm at the Horde Trooper. $25. It says limited quantities. You go, okay. You come down here to add to cart, and you click. Nothing happens.
Yeah. Click.
Nothing. It's gone. Nothing. Like, it's gone. There's nothing that says it's sold out. It says, sorry, we cannot add it to your cart. Nothing. It's just you're hitting it, and there's nothing happening.
The same thing happened after school for me, because I saw that they had these $12 Wind Raiders, and I'm like, oh my God, I need stands for some of my Sky Sleds. So I tried to buy them because it says you can add to cart right now. Well, you cannot. You can add to cart, but they won't let you check out. Same with Battlecat. Battlecat says it's in stock, and it is most definitely not. As I talked to a representative on the phone from the Mattel stop, and you know what's weird is they actually screwed their own employees over too, because the girl I was talking to is a He-Man fan, and she was like, I really wanted this one and this one, and they sold out while I wasn't even at work. So... I think they just messed up completely. They put a lot of fan-demanded figures that people have been waiting for the last remaining stock to go on sale, and it just got released in the middle of the night. And there was no limits. I've heard, I've not seen, no one's told me this, you know, about themselves, but there was someone telling me that someone else bought 25 Horde Troopers this morning. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Like, why would someone do that? I get it. Maybe if you're going to help your friends, maybe you're going to army build to the extreme, but 25 is just cruel. I mean, that's a grand right there. Anyways, I mean, is that a grand? No, that's like at least 500 though. That's at least 500. That's like half a grand you're spending on Horde Troops, which is irresponsible for most people, but just mean for those who didn't get it.
Yeah, and see, like, I'm going through some of the other figures. If I go to, let's say the Anti-Eternia He-Man, and I click on it, it says no longer in stock.
Correct. Yeah, like the stuff that went available this morning was like Despera, He-Man, Anti-Eternia He-Man, Skeletor, Rotarn Twistoid, Spirit of Grayskull, the Hoverbots. Yeah, the Hoverbots were in stock when I saw them early this morning.
Right, but my point being, though, is that if I click on Anti-Eternia He-Man, it says no longer in stock. If I go to the Horde Trooper, it says limited quantities, and you click on it, nothing happens.
Correct. It's a kick in the face for most of us, because it's stuff that we wanted, that we were willing to shell out money for, and... not only is it not there, it feels like we're returning back to the days of Digital River. I mean, Mattel did not mean for this to happen, but dang, I feel like I'm buying from Digital River again. I feel like it's that monthly time when Digital River has got their screen of death. And on top of it, it's not like, you know, Digital River at least told us when they were going to drop. You know, they're going to drop exactly at 11 p.m. my time, right? And right now, it was in the morning. I couldn't plan for it. I couldn't set my alarm. It's just irritating.
Well, and here's another weird thing. Right here on my screen, there's Masters of the Universe Skeletor 12-inch figure for $55. Yeah. If I scroll down a little bit, Masters of the Universe Giant Skeletor 12-inch figure, $75. Now I understand. This one says Skeletor 12-inch figure. This one says Giant Skeletor 12-inch figure, but I'm pretty sure it's 12 inches.
It's the same.
12 inches. Why is there a $20 difference between the two?
Well, it's because originally they were $75, and they had a sale on for Black Friday last year, and some of these prices are the Black Friday prices. I've noticed that. Like, there's not a little rhyme to the reason, but like if you look at the Wind Raider, for one reason, it's marked at $12. That thing was $50 when I bought it, so there's no way that it should be $12. The same goes for like let me see another good example.
Well, we've got a price pending on Sweet Bee.
Yeah, she's going to be regular price, though.
I mean, it's just weird that it's price pending instead of someone just going in and saying $30 and get them out.
Yeah, some of the stock, I'm sure they're going to sell. The Battle Ram was another one. The Battle Ram's marked at $30, and I'm pretty sure I paid like $120 for each one of those suckers. So, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world that they've marked the price down and that, you know, people were able to buy some. It just sucks that, I guess Mattel doesn't know enough about their own product, and that we're still getting shafted kind of after the line has ended, you know, at least through Mattel. So go figure. But I mean, it's just annoying. I'm over it. I'm sure there's some people that are still seething from this morning. I guess I was luckier than some. No, I wish I could offer you some kind of consolation or say, oh man, I ordered enough for everybody, but I didn't.
Well, it's not necessarily that I want a Horde Trooper. It's just, the fact that
it's not listed. It's not listed as sold out.
Yeah. It's just, it's so poorly put together. Like all these times that we've talked about how bad Digital River is, I wonder, is Digital River really that bad, or is just Mattel?
No, it was Digital
terrible
River.
On top of that.
No,
no, but I mean, look how bad.
Yeah, I get that. But Digital River had a lot of issues. Digital River, I mean, I'm not trying to go to bat for
right,
Mattel.
But I'm
here.
Just saying it's not 100% like Mattel did everything they could and it was perfect on Mattel's end. It was Digital River that messed everything up. Like, yeah. I'm wondering if it might not be a 40-60 split on problems here, you know?
Yeah. Well, Digital River, okay, when I called Digital River, I always spoke to someone overseas whose English was a little broken, who was contracted. I called the Mattel store today. I called it maybe 2-3 hours ago after school. And when I called, I spoke to someone in our country, someone who is a fan, who likes the toys I'm talking about, who doesn't just have a, you know, glancery knowledge of Masters of the Universe, because I'm sure they fielded a bunch of calls today from it, right? She actually was like, oh, man, I wanted that one too. I feel you. And I was like, oh. You know, like if I wasn't already with someone, it was a girl too. I'm not going to lie. It was really cool talking He-Man with this girl for like, you know, the 4 minutes that we talked. And she was really nice. And I'm going to tell you, I had some really real jerks from Digital River that I had to talk to. People that did not care, that did not have empathy, people who did not really want to deal with me. And this girl, I'm sure, didn't want to deal with me either, but like, I didn't feel so bad afterwards, right? I was like, oh, thank you. I feel you, you know? I'm not single, so I can't speculate if, you know, this person's available and if I should be dating them, but no, I don't know. I just got to say that Mattel was even a small bit better than Digital River, because even though Mattel did this, Mattel did not plan on having a crap ton of stock, you know, 4 years ago when they were making all these figures. You know what I mean? They weren't like, hey, let's sever the Digital River cord as soon as possible and then stop making these and then sell them on our website for, you know, crazy prices because we don't know enough about them. I mean, Scott's been gone for, what, 2 years at least now? I mean, it's not like he messed up. And I'm not defending Scott whatsoever.
Well, I was going to say, there, you know, depending on what you're talking about exactly, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Okay, so we've got a couple more topics, and we've got, like, what, 10 more minutes left, give or take, if we want to stop it. So, let's talk, you know, I waited long enough. Brian's not here. Let's talk about PowerCon. PowerCon exclusives stopped. They stopped taking orders for them last night. If you didn't get your PowerCon exclusives in, I think you can still order them from Big Bad Toy Store right now. But through PowerCon, you cannot, which sucks, but it is what it is. I kind of wish I'd ordered extra, but I am being very good. I'm being very good. You know, I'm going to share with our podcast, or our listeners right now. I bought an engagement ring yesterday. I bought an engagement yesterday, and it was a lot of money. So I'm going to be very good for the next couple months and not go crazy because, you know, He-Man is important, but so is my relationship. So, yeah.
But you're making all that big school teacher money.
Teacher money, yeah, right. I got a payment plan for the ring. I couldn't outright buy it, probably because of my He-Man addiction, but, you know, also because it was a buttload of money. So I'm good.
All right, so what's going on with the just the PowerCon exclusives, just that they're now gone? So,
yeah, they're not available through PowerCon anymore. They've closed orders. They still have some of the extra stuff available to order if you're going to go. Like, I heard that they had 40 of the Earl Norden, what's his name? Earl
Norm.
Norm.
Norum.
Norum. Prince left. They had like 40 as of like yesterday, the day before. They showed some of them to us on the website. They are excellent. I actually stupidly ordered two myself just because, like, you know, I'm crazy. You know, so is Brian. I'm sure Brian, when PowerCon went on sale, I'm sure he blew like $2,000. Like, he's just like crazy like that, crazier than I am. But they still have some of that stuff on sale that you can buy if you're going to go to the con. They just showed us some stuff in some of their videos. They made some announcements. PowerCon is coming. You know, they're getting us ready. We still have months to go, like 5 months. But I'm ready in my heart and soul to go to PowerCon.
Remember when it was PowerCon, ThunderCon?
Yes. Yeah, actually, that was several years ago. Several years ago, they did PowerCon and with Thundercats involved, which, you know, our podcast also talks about Thundercats from time to time. And they also tried to add Ninja Turtles in 1 year. I think that might have been the New York year where it was canceled. But, they did that because, you know, I'm sure because the Four Horsemen have been trying to get a Thundercats line that they could make or produce or work on in some way out, but also because Thundercats and He-Man share a lot of the same elements, even though they were made by completely different companies, toys and show-wise.
And when you put them together in a comic, you get the greatest comic of all time.
I don't. Did you like it as much? Because I'm not sold on it. I was reading it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I heard we do two of these shows, right? So I produce Fans of Power and Masters of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And so between the two shows, I heard a lot of rage over the series. Now, I didn't hate it. Like, I can understand people look at it and say, you know, that wasn't correct. You know, nobody is supposed to be able to see Jaga except for Lion-O. And
I remember that part.
But, I mean, honestly, I kind of looked at the whole thing and just – looked at it more along the lines of, if I were to sit down and I had a handful of toys in a cardboard box and I laid them out on the living room floor, this is more or less the type of story that I would be playing out. You know,
it's not
perfect and it's not 100% to both canon, but you make adjustments here or there as you need to in order to make it work. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when it comes right down to it, Masters of the Universe is part of the reason why it works so well is because the mythology of it is not set in stone. It's not 100%. You have some versions where He-Man is the strongest guy in his village, and so he goes out to protect the planet.
The original mini comics.
You've got the version where, you know, he's Prince Adam and he transforms and nobody knows he's Prince Adam. There's the versions, you know, they've done stories where everybody knows he's Prince Adam, apparently, and they just wait for the transformation. You know, there's the DC Comics world, you know, that a lot of people hated as well, the storylines that they did. So one of the things about it is that you can always adapt it or mess with it in order to fit your story. And with the amount of forgiveness people will give, like, say, the 87 movie, you got to look at this crossover comic and just be like, okay, I get it. You know, He-Man, he was stabbed through the heart as Prince Adam and was dead. So you put him in the sarcophagus and you take him to Mumra's temple and he's able to come back to life. That is kind of silly and stupid, but at the same time, that's the type of thing I would do if I was playing with the toys, you know? Yeah. It's like, that's a perfectly acceptable thing to do when you're dealing with He-Man versus Thundercats in a comic book, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how I felt about the whole thing. It wasn't the most perfect thing in the world, but it was enjoyable for what it was. I didn't take it too seriously. It's not like they're rewriting all of canon and now all, you know, all storylines have to follow the classics bios and, you know, everything like that. It's just, this is one story from a couple writers and an artist. Just let it go and just wait for the next time. They'll do He-Man versus the Banana Splits next time. And that'll be fun. And
please. No, you know, please. No, I'm not going to make any crazy claims that I liked it that much. I thought it was okay. I agree with exactly what you're saying. It's another person's interpretation. And the way we can interpret it is really a good thing in most cases, because we can get a very broad, you know, okay. A good example is the New Adventures. Okay. The New Adventures, not the New Adventures, the 2000X. The 2000X took, it took our original story that we grew up with. It took the mini comics. It took some of the books. It took the TV show, you know, the Filmation show, and it morphed it into something that was really, really enjoyable. Okay. But they killed off main characters and they changed stuff and people looked really different or really like almost an anime style in some cases. You know, but a lot of people liked that. A lot of people liked that. And it was made for kids. It wasn't made for all of us older guys who are really into He-Man or older ladies into He-Man. It was made for everyone. It was made for everyone. This Thundercats comic, it's not my can of worms, but I thought there were some cool parts in it. You know, it works though. It works because, I mean,
let me give you a good example, and this is a way I can equate it to something else. G.I. Joe Renegades.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever seen that cartoon.
It was a great movie. Oh wait, no. That's Resolute. I'm thinking of Resolute. Oh, Renegades was very different. Holy crap!
It was a mini series, 20 episodes or something like that.
It was like Cartoon Network, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was written by a guy who didn't know anything about G.I. Joe. But they asked him to come in and do it because he was an accomplished comic book writer. And he said, well, you know, I don't really know anything about the property. And they said, that's fine. Do with it what you want. We just want to get a good story. So he had like Major Blood. His dead body was found like on the steps of the Lincoln Monument or something like this. And, you know, like all this other weird stuff going on. I'm watching the show and I'm like, I don't like this. Like, this is not for me. I don't like the way he's just tossing away characters. A lot of the characters were out of character because he was a guy that didn't really follow the series. He's just, you know, he just has them. And so he's writing stories how he wants to using those characters. So I didn't care for it. But at no point was I like, this is ruining G.I. Joe because this is not the G.I. Joe I want. It's not like this is rewriting the entire history of G.I. Joe and now everything from this moment forward is going to have to follow exactly what's in this series. It did the series and then it was over. And then the property moved on to something else. And that's that's the same way I look at this this crossover, and it's kind of, you know, the more people hated it, the more I wanted to stand up there and say, no, it's great, you know? The more someone was like, I hate this, it's the worst thing ever, the more I'm like, hey, I'm going to buy the t-shirt, you know?
Yeah.
Just because I'm a troll in that sense, but you know, it's, I look at it the same way where as it was coming out and I'm reading it, there are certain things in there that I didn't particularly like or didn't care for, or I didn't think they were particularly well done. But at no point was I thinking to myself, well, this ruins all of He-Man for the rest of history, or this ruins any chances of Thundercats ever having another life at some point down the line. It just, it is what it is, as its own standalone art form. And then when it's done, it'll be over and it'll go to its own shelf in the lore, and, you know, someone else will come along and do something else different, you know, down the road. So once you come to one of those types of realizations, like with the G.I. Joe, it's like once you got to a certain point, it's like, well, I didn't care enough to watch it anymore, but I'm not standing there going, how dare you, Hasbro, do this to G.I. Joe? You know?
I mean, not Resolute, but what was it called?
Renegades.
Renegades was really different. I actually kind of felt like it was a teenage ploy to get teenagers to watch and enjoy 1980s G.I. Joe. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of it's unrealistic in today's, you know, military. But I don't know. But then there's also, did you ever watch Resolute? Because we're talking about it suddenly. Did you ever watch Resolute? G.I. Joe Resolute?
I don't remember what that one was.
That's the really, it's like a 2-hour movie. It's animated. It came out right before Renegades, and it was very adult oriented. I think it was shown on like Adult Swim, and they killed characters. They killed Bazooka. Bazooka died. So sad. But wait, like,
maybe it was not a, so I was thinking that was a series.
The Resolute? I thought it was a movie. I have it somewhere on a DVD, and it's like 2 hours long. Like, it's the whole thing. Renegades was, you know, a kid's show because the Cobras didn't technically die.
Okay, then Resolute's the one I'm thinking of. Resolute's the one I'm thinking of then.
Because that's what I thought. Okay, it was a movie. It's 2 hours. I was wondering about that. Renegades.
No, it was a TV series.
Renegades was a TV series. Resolute wasn't. It might have been shown as a miniseries on TV.
It debuted on. Oh yeah, okay. It debuted on the web at Adult Swim Video as a series of 10 5-minute episodes and one 10-minute final episode.
Okay.
And then it premiered in its so then it premiered in its entirety as a 60-minute movie on Cartoon Network.
Okay, that makes sense.
What I'm thinking. So Resolute is what I was thinking of. And see, I didn't like that. Because I'm watching that, and it's like I was saying, you know, they're like, Major Blood's body was found on the steps of the Lincoln Monument.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think it was like that.
See, I don't like that, because if you're going to kill off a major character, give him a good death, give him a good send off, make something fun about it. Instead, he's just like, oh, this is one of the important characters from the series, and you know, then he's gone. So I didn't like Resolute. I stopped watching it. As it was being released, but like
I
said,
I love that show.
You know, but like I said, at the same time, I wasn't out there going, "How dare Hasbro destroy the great legacy of G.I. Joe and all the wonderful things they've achieved over the last 30 years by making this horrible, you know, destruction of everything from my youth."
You know?
I just looked at it, going, "Nah, this one's not for me," and I moved on.
That's funny that we mixed them up, because I loved Resolute. Resolute was like the adult version of the show I always wanted, because no one ever died in the original Sunbrow cartoon. So I'm like, geez, give me some Resolute. Renegades, which I thought you were talking about, and it was from The Hub, maybe? I guess it was on their Hasbro's channel, The Hub. And it was a really, really, really like very PG G.I. Joe, where like they had shock weapons that they didn't even actually shoot at each other, and it was cool, but it didn't excite me at all. I actually did not like it.
Yeah, see, here I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page for Resolute, and Warren Ellis is saying They phoned me up and said, we'd really like you to write a G.I. Joe animation with a PG-13 rating aimed at an older viewer. And I said, I've never seen a G.I. Joe cartoon in my life. I know nothing about G.I. Joe. It's meaningless in my world. And excellent, Sam said. Just the guy we need. And see, to me, that's sitting there saying, like, that is not the guy that you want, is the guy who doesn't know anything about it. Because he walked into the job knowing absolutely nothing about the characters. They just said, these are the names and these are what they look like. And he just made his own thing to go with it. So I didn't like it. But like I said, at the same time, I didn't rage against it the way people have raged against Thundercats He-Man.
Yeah. I understand it. People are going to rage though. People are going to rage no matter what, but
well, and they rage about everything. I mean, to be fair, yeah. We say, you know, this, but if you look at, you know, Marvel Comics and talking about, you know, people not wanting to buy their comics anymore and people raging against it, yeah. You know, people, it's not that they're raging that you added diversity. It's that you threw Thor and Iron Man and Hulk and Captain America in the toilet in order to force these other characters, you know?
Correct.
And you look at other stuff, anytime like a band changes the lead singer or a TV show recasts a character, even if a guy has a skiing accident and breaks his leg and is in traction for 2 years, and so they have to recast the actor, people are like, oh, I'm not watching this anymore if they got rid of that guy. It's like, well, he can't, you know, he's in the hospital. There's nothing you can do, but people still get upset. So anytime you make a change, people are going to be upset, you know, one way or another. And I think that's fine. And, you know, there's always, that's one of the things, but like I said, that's one of the things I like about Masters of the Universe is that even though I don't particularly care for new adventures, there are people who do and it exists.
Yeah.
And it's something that they like and they can go to, but there's 10 other versions of the history out there for you to choose from. For the one I personally like the idea of taking some of those early mini comics and expanding on the ideas of what if Skeletor came from this alternate dimension where there were Skeletors and it's just like an army of these skeleton men. And he's the one that made it through the portal. And He-Man is the strongest guy in his little village. So he, you know, joins the universe protectors, you know, against
cosmic warriors.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, those are fun ideas to play with, even though they're completely different from everything else that they have. You can still play with those concepts and it doesn't kill, you know, what He-Man is or the ability for you to have the versions that you like.
Yeah. By the way, the cosmic warriors weren't always good. I'm pretty sure that Zodak started off as a bad guy. If I remember correctly, he was a villain until they decided to make him a force of good or evil.
I like the idea of a bunch of Zodaks running around like the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, where they play the middle side.
Yeah,
we don't allow too much good or too much bad, too much evil. But yeah. Well, the only thing we didn't talk about was collecting toys versus social media.
But I think that one we'll have to save because that is a Brian topic.
That is a Brian topic, yeah.
So we're gonna
he himself is very, very social. Too much sometimes. Just kidding.
And he's a massive collector.
He is.
You know, some might even say hoarder.
Yeah, no. The fact that he's talked about how he has to he had to move stuff for the electrician to get to the what was it, the electric box in his place just makes me think that literally he's got things stacked to the ceiling in certain rooms. So
like maybe that's why we haven't heard from Brian, because it's like the two blind guys who lived in the apartment together. There's just like his own tunnels through all the stuff and a row of boxes fell on him and it, you know, yeah. His back is broken and he's just laying there starving to death. I mean, it's entirely possible
to talk about dying from He-Man figures. That would be unfun.
Yes, but if you went on eBay and said these are the He-Man figures that killed Brian Ozone, you'd get a lot of money.
Yeah.
They're special collector's versions. These are the cursed.
Once owned. And killed.
Yeah, I was gonna say these are the cursed ones that his spirit inhabits. And get big money for those. All right. Well, anyway. That's going to wrap it up for tonight, guys. I want to thank you for listening to our stripped down show. Aaron hopefully is not living in the wilderness without power too much longer. Actually, I saw a tree fall down today. It was so windy here. the aftermath of the giant storm coming through. I heard a cracking noise. I was helping somebody move. I heard this cracking noise, and I looked over, and his neighbor down the street, I just saw half the tree fall on the guy's truck. It's just been one of those days. So yeah, weather's crazy around the world, but hopefully Aaron will be back up and running before too long. He's got some waffles he's going to have to take care of here soon, so he better have some power. Also, we hope that, Brian, we hope you're not dead lying under a pile of toys. I mean, at least publicly, we have to say we hope you're not dead. I'll at least put it that way. Publicly. Do you have any anything extra you need to plug before we take off?
I think I'm good. I have nothing to plug. Okay. I'm right, looking guys. Forward to I just want to say I'm looking forward to May the 4th for Star Wars Day. But aside from that, you know.
Are you going to watch all 7 movies that day? Or 8 what? Movies, I guess?
Well, I know the Guardians comes out that day, but I'm going to see it Friday. I'm actually going to see a special screening of The Thing. You know, the old Kurt Russell movie on Thursday in Dallas. Yeah, yeah. And I can't wait for it. Actually, I love the movie The Thing. So I'm going to watch Guardians the next day after school. So, you know.
All right. So, guys, don't forget to go to popculturenetwork.com. Check out all the great stuff we have available. Also, Masters of the Galaxy is hosted at thatnewtoysmell.com, which is the toy part of the Pop Culture Network. You can also find the Masters of the Galaxy page on Facebook. Just do a search. I'm sure it'll pop up. You'll find us all lurking around there, showing off all the stuff that we should have bought instead of engagement rings, apparently. And just don't forget, guys, you can check us out. We are available, of course, on YouTube, where you can watch the video podcast. If you want to check out the audio podcast, if you go to thatnewtoysmell.com, the audio version will be posted there as well. Also, if you look up Pop Culture Network on iTunes, you can also find the podcast listed there as well. So that's going to do it. On behalf of Andrew, this is Dirk saying thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Have a good night.